KMXT Kodiak, this is the Alaska Fisheries Report. I'm Kayla DeRoche. Sockeye numbers are looking good in the Nooshigak River this year, but king salmon appear to be dodging nets. Some local Kalikinik families have been going downriver for their kings instead. Meanwhile, sockeye salmon are also doing well in other regions, as are chum. One biologist in Kodiak calls this the year of the dog. That and more coming up on this week's Alaska Fisheries Report.
The Alaska Fisheries Report is brought to you in part by Alaska Boats and Permits, marine broker for vessels, permits, and IFQs. 1-800-992-4960 or online at alaskaboat.com.
More than 2.5 million sockeye have returned to spawn in the Nooshigak River this year, one of the highest counts on record. They have filled pools and creeks, jumping and swimming their way to their spawning grounds. But in Kalikinik, the Nooshigak's uppermost village, king salmon are conspicuously missing from the nets. KDLG's Avery Lill has the story.
This is where we, after they get the kings, we head gut, slab, strip, salt, and then we hang all our strips out here to dry.
Long strips of king salmon hang outside Diane Ishnuk's Kalikinik smokehouse.
Then when they're all dry, we bring them into the smokehouse here. And that's where we start smoking them. And, you know, just like 9 or 10 days and they're all dry already, depending on the weather, you know.
Inside her smokehouse, it smells sharply of cottonwood smoke and salmon, which hangs from wooden racks. The big kings are cut into strips. The jack kings are simply split in half and dried as a sheet. But these kings aren't from Kalikinik. Local families have had to travel to places like New Stuyahok and Lewis Point to catch their fill. Many in Kalikinik do that every year to get an earlier start on processing fish, but this year, even families who usually get their kings near the village went downriver. Ishnuk and her family set their nets off to Mogalituli, or in English, Cranberry Creek. In 3 weeks, she caught one king, her sister got two in 2 weeks.
Normally, we would catch up to 30 or 40 a day, like 18 in the morning or 15 at night. We'd have to check it twice a day.
Local elder George Nelson usually catches 100 to 150 kings at Kalikinik in a season. After setting his net for a month, he's only caught 6 or 7. Ishnuk says people are puzzled as to why the kings have not arrived yet. She also has another theory.
Well, we were thinking that maybe there's so many reds, they're like pushing the kings out to the middle of the river.
If that's the case, she thinks king salmon may simply be escaping the nets set for them. Frances Nelson is also from Kalikinik. Like Ishnuk, her smokehouse is full of kings caught downriver, but she is sure that there are king salmon near Kalikinik as well.
I think there were lots of kings in the river. I don't ever want to say there's a shortage of kings in this river. Let's just talk. You know, if those downriver people harvested all the kings that they did down at the mouth of the Nooshigak River in Dillingham, Clark's Point, you know there were a lot of kings coming up this river.
Sport fishing provides another perspective on the unusually low king catches in set nets. Katrina Merlino, the Village Indian Environmental General Assistance Program coordinator, says that people who sport fish for a full day are catching upwards of 6 kings.
Usually the nets catch a lot more than you do rod and reel. I really think that the kings are coming up in the middle channel and, you know, riding along the banks, because right where all the rod and reel fishers are, they go right where there's still water and right in the current, and they leave their line right there. And it seems like that's where they're catching the most kings, is right in the Ripley area.
While no one in Kalikinik can do more than hypothesize about why the kings are hitting the nets so sparsely, there seems to be little concern. Freezers are full, and most people have already smoked as many fish as they'll need for the year. Nelson takes a no-nonsense attitude toward the whole situation.
People all along this river have gotten their king salmon. You know, it's just a different year, a different season. You know, as Alaska Native people, we always know how to adjust to change. There's always different changes in our, you know, in the ecosystem, and we learn to adjust to those changes.
The coming years will tell whether this year's run is an anomaly or whether it's indicative of a long-term shift in the way salmon run up the Nooshigak. In Kalikinik, I'm Avery Lill.
Support for the Alaska Fisheries Report comes from the Alaska Seafood Marketing Institute. working to raise the value of our seafood harvest for the benefit of all Alaskans.
Concern and fear over empty smokehouses along the Kuskokwim seem to have subsided. The river was closed most of June, but an abundance of red and chum salmon have filled the river this July. KYUK's Anna Rose MacArthur reports the switch to fishing later in the summer has one resident wondering if regulations are shifting subsistence culture and if tribes should help that along.
Mary Patola is breathing a sigh of relief.
That anxiety of not having enough fish for the winter has gone.
Patola is the executive director of the Kuskokwim River Intertribal Fisheries Commission. She's also a member of the Kuskokwim River Salmon Management Working Group, and she subsistence fishes with her family by the Gweek River in the Middle Kuskokwim. Since the end of June and into July, her small net has filled with red and chum salmon. And what is it that you call it?
The little set net that could, because it's only about 40 feet long. It has about 10 floats on it.
That's tiny compared to other gillnets. But what it's harvested has been enough to fill her family's smokehouse, in many cases of jars for the winter. But Patola, like many living along the Kuskokwim, didn't know a month ago if her family would be able to do that.
June, for me, was just filled with a lot of anxiety about not fishing and the weather not being great when we were able to fish.
King salmon were running low, and managers allowed only 2 gillnet openings the entire month. Wet weather during the openings and later flies meant salmon were harder to dry. Some people lost their harvest to rot and maggots.
When our family went fishing on the 24th of June, we caught mostly chums, some reds, and of those, about 10 did not make it, 10 slabs.
And that's with blowing fans on the fish, cutting off fly eggs, and putting the salmon early in the smokehouse. But with those efforts, most of the harvest did make it, and people along the river found new techniques to preserve fish in rainy weather.
I had a friend say that she sprays Clorox on her poles and Clorox on the doorway of her smokehouse, and that's been helping keep flies away.
People have also turned to other ways of preserving fish, jarring, salting, kippering, freezing. Since July, the wet weather has lifted, and red and chum have filled the river in people's need for fish. Now, many families are turning to berry picking. Some are waiting for silvers. But what do these changes mean for subsistence along the Kuskokwim? The tradition is for families to fish hard in early June and put away as many dry fish as they can. With king salmon expected to remain low in coming years, conservation measures could continue, keeping the river closed during the early summer. Patola says Kuskokwim tribes will have to discuss these possibilities, what customs might be modified, and how to respond to Low King or Chinook runs like the summers.
I guess it's just me asking myself and our family asking ourselves, and I guess communities asking themselves, what will we do in the worst case scenario for a Chinook run? Will we continue to fish on it and harvest it? Or when the numbers are really low, are we willing to let those Chinook pass without harvesting them?
People have already shown they can adapt. In Bethel, I'm Anna Rose MacArthur.
In Kodiak, one bay on Afognak Island opened up briefly for the commercial fishing of chum salmon. KMXT's Mitch Borden reports.
Fishermen gathered at Katoy Bay in Afognak for the launch of a flare. It marked the opening of the inner Katoy Bay section for commercial chum salmon fishing. And it was only open for 6 hours. It was the first time this area has been open in July for several years. The chum salmon hatchery that's located in the inner Katoy Bay collected their target number of salmon for their brood stock. Once this goal was reached, there was still plenty of chum, also known as dogs, left in the bay. So the Alaska Department of Fish and Game decided to open it up for commercial fishing. According to James Jackson, a local ADF&G biologist, they haven't been able to do this for a while.
This time of year, typically the last few years, the run's been fairly weak. This was a nice little bonus to actually have a decent return comeback. Usually we're closed and trying to get brood stock. But this year they had a nice pulse of fish come in and they had extra fish. And so we were able to mop those up at the Katoy last few days.
Fishermen harvested 90,000 chum while the inner Katoi Bay was open. This area isn't the only place on Kodiak that's having a great chum season. According to Jackson, Kodiak is seeing a lot of chum this year.
On average, in the Kodiak area, we typically, for this date, have harvested around 239,000, 240,000 dogs. We've got, you know, nearly 750,000. So a lot of dogs this year. It's the year of the dog.
Jackson doesn't think the Inner Katoi Bay will be reopened for commercial chum fishing again this season. This is because enough of the excess chum were mopped up over the weekend. For KMXT, I'm Mitch Borden.
The Alaska Fisheries Report is brought to you in part by the Alaska Marine Safety Education Association, providing U.S. Coast Guard accepted hands-on safety training for all of Alaska's fishermen and their family.
Sam Mercurio skippers the fishing vessel Quicksilver in Bristol Bay's Igagik District. He is wrapping up a successful season, and by next week, will be heading down to his restaurant in Monterey, California, which specializes in the very wild-caught Alaskan salmon he himself catches. KDLG's Nick Shalino reports.
Sam Mercurio is a fisherman restaurateur. He has fished Bristol Bay for 39 years and owns Domenico's on the Wharf in Monterey, California. He says he is a big proponent of wild-caught salmon, and as a fisherman, he takes ownership over the quality of fish sold in his restaurant.
It's wild and natural, and it's ours. It's mine. You know what I mean? I buy direct from Alaska General Seafoods. They put up a pack for me, all filleted and vacuum-packed, and we ship them to Seattle from Naknek, and they ship them right to the restaurant for me when I need them. You know, I usually get 1,000 pounds at a time. I buy a lot. And we serve them all year round.
Domenico's has been owned and operated by the Mercurio family since 1981. Sam Mercurio and his wife bought the restaurant from his uncle 11 years ago. Mercurio says his family has an even longer history fishing in Bristol Bay.
My uncles and my father have been fishing up here since this, when the sailboats just got out. 50, 60 years in the business. Now they're all passed away, but my dad and my uncles are the first guys to go independent here in Bristol Bay. Got out of the cannery boats in the early 60s.
Before purchasing the restaurant, Mercurio fished full-time as a Bristol Bay drifter in the summer and a California squid seiner in the winter. Now he just fishes the bay and runs the restaurant. He says Domenico's menu includes several items from Alaskan fisheries like king crab and halibut, but adds Bristol Bay sockeye is the specialty.
We put a lemon honey glaze on it. We just paint it on there with a brush, and we broil it on a cedar plank, and it's really good. And a lot of people want it blackened. We do a blackened with salad for lunch. People dig it. Somebody wants a custom fish and chips and a tempura beer batter. We got it down pat, and it's a hot seller right now. I serve it with a little coleslaw and a french fries.
Mercurio says the fishing is slowing down in Igagik. He says he plans to put the boat up, head back down south, and be back in the restaurant by Monday. I'm Nick Shalino, KDLG News.
The Alaska Fisheries Report is brought to you in part by AK Teach, now enrolling K through 12 homeschool students throughout the state of Alaska, creating partnerships that are flexible, family-friendly, and unique to your child.
And that's all for this week's Alaska Fisheries Report. We had help from KDLG's Nick Shalino and Avery Lill in Dillingham, KMXT's Mitch Borden in Kodiak, and KYUK's Anna Rose MacArthur in Bethel. From KMXT in Kodiak, I'm Kayla Deroche.